Hello, and welcome to Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a discussion of progressive issues of faith and action, coming to you in the 75th anniversary year of WESU, 88.1 FM Middletown, and at WESUFM.org, and repeated on UConn's WHUS 91.7 FM stores and WHUS.org, UConn's Radio for the People. I'm Maria Johnson. Today, we go on a field trip to West Hartford, Connecticut, for a visit with Brandon Nappe at New England's newest retreat center for meditation and contemplative practice, the Copper Beach Institute, which, though housed at a Catholic retreat house and monastery, takes something of an Eastern approach to spirituality, while also reminding us of something not often talked about by the Catholic Church, which is that Christianity has its own ancient history of contemplative practice. When we return, we'll talk with Brandon, and then he'll lead us on a tour of the center. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the passing on Sunday morning of the influential theologian Father Richard McBrien, a progressive-minded priest and author who taught for years at Notre Dame University and who spent his final years here in Connecticut. I always wanted to have him on the show, but I'd been told by people who know him that he would have been too ill. Certainly, he was a kindred spirit of all of us progressive-minded Catholics. He was a champion of the cause of a female priesthood, didn't believe birth control should be considered immoral, and he was for decentralizing power in the church. Quoting the obituary in the National Catholic Reporter, he helped to define the battle lines within Catholicism over the legacy of the Second Vatican Council. I'll post the obit on the ReasonablyCatholic.com blog. Rest in peace, Father Richard McBrien. Thank you for everything you've done. We'll try to carry the torch for you. When we return, we'll tour the Copper Beach Institute with Brandon Nappe.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com. There's a new kid in
town. Just another new kid. How are you? Nice to see you. Happy to have that.
Same to you.
Yeah, thanks. Shall we land?
Let's. We'll have a little visit, and then maybe you can give us a tour.
Sure. Let's see if this is
Great. Okay, how cozy.
Can I get you in?
You're on a Reasonably Catholic field trip to West Hartford's Copper Beach Institute, which you might say is reasonably Catholic. It offers retreats and trainings in mindfulness and contemplative practice with a kind of Eastern flavor, all with the stated goal of advancing personal well-being, the health of the earth, and the peace of the entire human family.
So the Copper Beach Institute finds its name from the three Copper Beach trees that are here on our campus, which were planted in 1951 when this campus was prepared by the Roman Catholic community of priests and brothers called the Passionists. Copper Beach trees are relatively common ornamental trees that were brought over from Europe in the 19th century, I imagine as reminders of the old country. And copper beech trees came to become a symbol of wisdom. Romans used their very smooth bark to make paper and would entrust their prized bits of wisdom to copper beech paper. So for centuries, it's been a symbol of wisdom, but there's yet another level to the symbolism, and that is that the branch structure of the copper beech tree is such that the shade cast by the tree is very dense, and not much else grows underneath a copper beech tree. So it has also become evocative of solitude. So this joint symbolism of wisdom and solitude seemed like a wonderful image for a new contemplative center. So the story of Copper Beach, the Copper Beach Institute, really is deeply connected with the story of this now historic, over 60-year-old Catholic retreat center, which has, over the decades, become the largest parish-based Catholic retreat center in the country, perhaps even the world. We have over 19,000 folks who come here for weekend retreats and day retreats and various events throughout the year. And what was for, 50 years, solely a Catholic retreat center, in the last 10 years, has evolved into being not only a thriving Catholic retreat center, our ministry continues to thrive, but a community of nonprofit organizations, which all of which have as their focus compassion, peace, and loving kindness in some way. So 10 years ago, we invited the Spiritual Life Center to join us, a separate nonprofit organization that has a 30-year history. They lived off campus for most of their life, and we invited them to join us because we were so excited about the work that they're doing, training spiritual directors and offering spiritual direction to people from many, many different religious traditions. About 2 years ago, the Golden Thread Gallery was formed, a new art gallery founded by Tricia Haggerty-Wentz and Kate Wilson. They came to us with this beautiful vision of starting a professional art gallery on our campus, and their work has flourished with 5 shows a year and art from all over the world coming to be exhibited here. And then finally, the newbie, the newest kind of toddler nonprofit organization, the Copper Beach Institute, which focuses on mindfulness and contemplative practices, both from within the Christian community and contemplative practices from every imaginable religious tradition, all finding a home here.
This is all good. There's nothing to complain about. And yet, forgive me, a cynic might say that this is the Catholic Church trying to cash in on the New Age, you know, practices, the Zen thing, the yoga thing. Has anybody said that, or is it just my evil observation?
Sure, there are cynics in the community, and this is a place where we welcome even cynics to offer their feedback. We believe that all participants are an important part of the conversation. The truth is that contemplative practice is ancient and a part of every religious tradition, right? You know, this has been the remarkable fruit of the Second Vatican Council. In fact, the council documents really encouraged monastic communities to share the fruit of their contemplative practices. So since the mid-60s, we've seen an extension of contemplative practice beyond the monastery walls. And this has been the work of Thomas Keating, John Main, and among many others from within the Christian community. And it's also paralleled in the Protestant community as well, more recently, to share ancient practices that were once the domain of professional contemplatives, so to speak. I really feel personally like it's a big part of my own vocation to share these contemplative practices within the Christian community, centering prayer, for example, that have really touched my own life. I came to contemplative practice, centering prayer particularly, at a time when my life was in chaos. I was experiencing deep emotional pain. And what I found was that despite almost 12 years of formal theological education, my prayer life was still very immature, was very adolescent in many ways, and I was seeking something deeper. I really feel a kinship with Thomas Merton, who, when he came to the monastery in Gethsemane before World War II, he read the mystics, Meister Eckhart, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, and he said, I want to have this experience of union with God. I want to have this kind of peace, this kind of stability. And he said to his mentors and the monks around him, he said, show me, what is the practice that can help me? And other than the daily office, the recitation of the Psalms and the work that they do in their monastic life, they didn't have anything concrete to share with him. He was looking for something. And it wasn't until Thomas Keating, Basil Pennington, right up the road in Massachusetts at St. Joseph's Abbey, stumbled upon the Cloud of Unknowing, this ancient text, this ancient manual for contemplative prayer. Did Merton's question finally get realized in this answer? And so perhaps you know this history, about 30 years ago, this text from the Cloud of Unknowing was translated and finally influenced the writing of Open Mind, Open Heart, which was a kind of manual for contemplative prayer, which came to be known as centering prayer. So all of that to say, it took almost two decades for centering prayer to emerge formally as a response to the Second Vatican Council's encouragement to share the fruit of contemplation. And what ended up happening is that this form of contemplative prayer, this form of wordless, unitive prayer with God, spread like wildfire. And so at least from within the Catholic Christian tradition, that method has been incredibly helpful to lay practitioners, along with religious and priests, for decades now.
This is a visit to the Copper Beach Institute with its director, Brandon Nappe, who's leading us on a tour of the center, which is located in West Hartford at a Catholic retreat house and monastery. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown, now in its 75th year of providing community radio that matters, and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM Storrs, UConn's radio for the people.
Millions of people all over the world go hungry while we waste our land and water resources. Did you know that raising animals for human consumption uses 8 times as much water as growing fruits, vegetables, and grains? And that the same amount of land can produce 17 times more soybean protein than meat protein? If you care about animals, good health, and the earth, please consider becoming a vegetarian. The lives you save may include your own. For free, tasty vegetarian recipes and a DVD, call PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, at 1-888-VEG-FOOD. That's 1-888-VEG-FOOD. Visit online at GoVeg.com. That's GoVeg.com. This message has been sponsored by PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Thank you.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy.
Merton, of course, died in Thailand in his eagerness to be in conversation with the monastic wisdom of the East. And he really felt like there was deep wisdom and deep wells of enlightenment and wisdom that could be tapped and appreciated by the Western heart and mind. Merton died a faithful Catholic monastic, a Trappist monk in the Benedictine tradition. But he felt... he felt like there was wisdom to be embraced. And at the Copper Beach Institute, we recognize that there is a contemplative beating heart within every religious tradition. And so we are inviting contemplatives from the Buddhist tradition, from the many Buddhist traditions, from our Christian tradition, from the Jewish tradition, and also from the secular mindfulness tradition to come and to teach with us. What's been really, really interesting to watch is the way in which a secular mindfulness tradition has unfolded over the course of the last 30 years or so. A man by the name of Jon Kabat-Zinn, while on a Buddhist retreat right up the road in Massachusetts at the Insight Meditation Center, had this insight that mindfulness, meditation, present moment awareness, being incredibly awake to the moment, wasn't just for Buddhists, not just for Christian contemplatives. It transcends all religious backgrounds. And he realized that mindfulness, this capacity to be present or aware in the moment was a deeply human capacity that all of us have. In essence, mindfulness is a pre-religious capacity. It comes with human nature before we embark on a religious path. And so what he did is he was practicing in the Buddhist tradition at the time, and he extracted the practice of meditation and mindfulness from the Buddhist tradition. And he created an 8-week course to teach present moment awareness, which he called the 8-week course in mindfulness-based stress reduction at the University of Massachusetts, at what would become the Center for Mindfulness at the UMass Medical School. And what was ingenious about the 8-week course in mindfulness-based stress reduction was twofold. One was that he was teaching mindfulness and meditation apart from a religious context. And secondly, because he was a biologist and a researcher, he studied its effects. And so for the last 30 years, this 8-week course has been rigorously studied, and results have been published in peer-reviewed scientific journals. And when Jon Kabat-Zinn began his work, I believe there were two or three fringe studies on the benefits of meditation, and now there are over 500, with new studies coming out every day demonstrating that a simple practice of mindfulness, present moment awareness, can reduce stress, reduce anxiety. It can be helpful to people who are recovering from surgery and addiction and PTSD and countless other chronic ailments. And so it's a really interesting moment in which contemplatives within religious traditions are lifting up the fruits of their contemplative practices and sharing them with lay people in the religious traditions, but also in a parallel way within the secular community, and especially in the scientific community, contemplative practices are being shared. And especially in the United States, it's the secular scientific community that's largely been behind the proliferation of meditation practice. It's a fascinating moment in history.
At the risk of seeming like I'm looking for trouble, I'm wondering, I have a feeling that the secular scientific approach might sit better with the chancery than the Buddhist approach, for one thing. I mean, also, though, even as I say that, I'm aware that the bishops have pretty much put the kibosh on any practice of Reiki, or I should say Reiki. Yeah. So I'm just curious how your offerings, your little menu of programs, sits with the hierarchy.
Well, it's important to say first that Copper Beach Institute is an independent nonprofit organization. It's non-sectarian, and it's not affiliated with any particular religious tradition.
I have to interrupt. And continuing my cynical cast of mind here, is that strategic? Is the goal to extract all of this non-traditional, non-Catholic, okay, practice from Holy Family Retreat House and Monastery, so that, well, okay, we're going to put all the loony stuff over there so that we can continue to call ourselves a Catholic retreat center. Is that going too far?
I guess there's several ways to answer that question. Let me start first by saying that which is non-Catholic isn't necessarily anti-Catholic. So what we heartily believe at Copper Beach Institute is that the work we're doing, while it's not explicitly Catholic, is incredibly complementary toward the Catholic worldview. So what we're doing at Copper Beach is we are creating contemplative space. We're creating contemplative space for contemplatives of every religious tradition, and especially those of no particular religious tradition. Of course, it goes without saying these days that more and more people are no longer affiliating with traditional religious traditions. They're not in church on Sunday, by and large. And it's long been a kind of vocational question for me to ask, how can we serve them? And it's certainly a question Holy Family has asked for a long time. How can we help folks to encounter the Spirit here? And what we're doing at Copper Beach is, well, we're doing a number of things. First of all, we're bringing people onto this very spiritual Catholic campus, many of whom are Catholics, but many of whom are not. So they're encountering a dynamic, very alive, thriving Catholic center and encountering an incredibly committed Catholic community here in a way that they wouldn't if they weren't, you know, coming to this place. So while they're here at a Copper Beach retreat, they may be coming for a secular mindfulness retreat, but we always invite people to Eucharist. We always invite people to participate in the life of the retreat center. So if I were to put my Catholic bishop hat on, I would see that the concrete experience is that, ironically, Copper Beach is offering a new doorway for people to encounter the incredible Catholic life that's happening here. What we're also doing is helping people to live in a more compassionate, more grounded, more stable way through the practice of mindfulness and through the practice of meditation. And we can't argue with the scientific research. So after 8 weeks of meditation practice, folks are handling anxiety better. They're calmer. They're more compassionate. Isn't it interesting? Their private inner meditation practice is actually leading them to be more compassionate in the world. So if we have taken some atheists and made them more compassionate by our work, have we brought them to Christ? No, but I think we've made a real contribution to our community.
How do you know they're more compassionate?
So there's been some really interesting research, I believe, at the University of Wisconsin regarding meditation practice and compassion practice. Yeah, so we don't necessarily conduct those research studies, but that's what's been really fascinating about the marriage of secular mindfulness practice and rigorous research right now is the benefits, the healing benefits, the social benefits are really quite amazing. So the way I think about this is that, hey, if you're a Buddhist and we can support your spiritual journey, we want to do that. If you're a Christian and we can support your spiritual journey, wonderful. We know that there's a lot of spiritual but not religious people out there. And those are the folks, at least personally, that I have a special heart for, that we can be supportive to them, that we can provide an ethical framework in which they can work so that spirituality just isn't an inward quest. This is the critique, I think a fair one, of the Catholic Church and many mainline churches around people who are spiritual but not religious. It's just an excuse to be selfish. The critique goes something from traditionally religious people. Well, you're lazy. You don't really want to wake up on Sunday mornings. You don't really want to do the work. You're intellectually lazy. You just want what you want. You want to create your own thing. And so what I would say is, rather than arguing with those folks, providing them with another path, a really intensive path, by the way, a rigorous path, but one that's incredibly life-giving too. For some, it may lead to them joining a traditional religious path eventually. To others, it may not. But that's the work of the Spirit. And what we've been able to do is create another way for folks to experience the rest, the peace, the sanctuary of these 50 acres. And we've seen it already. So about 1,000 people have come to this campus through the Copper Beach Institute in the last 6 months through day retreats and our meditation groups. People are flying in from all over the country and all over the world. We've had people come in from Norway, from Mexico City, California, and Texas. So there's a real hunger right now. And it's a real testament to the Passionists and their open-heartedness to welcome not only Copper Beach, but to welcome this new community of people to experience the peace of this place.
You're on a reasonably Catholic field trip to West Hartford's Copper Beach Institute. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM stores.
It's a medical breakthrough, a doctor's prescription to help prevent cancer and improve survival rates. But you don't go to the pharmacy, you go to the supermarket for fruits, vegetables, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods. Side effects may include increased energy, healthy weight loss, and lower cholesterol. For a free recipe booklet, call 866-906-WELL or visit cancerproject.org. This message brought to you by the Cancer Project, committed to preventing cancer and improving survival.
There's lots of those friendly people. They're showing me ways to go. But I never want to lose their inspiration. Time for a cool change.
Back now to our tour of the Copper Beach Institute with Director Brandon Nappe.
You know, we've had more than a few people come who are newcomers here who said to me, you know, Brandon, I would never have come to this campus under the guise of Holy Family. I grew up Catholic. I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore. It seems like every Catholic has some kind of traumatic story. I'm a recovering Catholic. We've all heard those stories, and many of them are incredibly heart-wrenching. And I said, you know, but I am so thankful to know that a place like this exists. I feel very much at home here. And in fact, maybe my experience here at Copper Beach and at Holy Family is causing me to take another look at the Catholicism of my childhood.
And Pope Francis probably is behind some of that impulse, no?
Yeah, we send Pope Francis a commission check every time we hear stories like that. Yeah, I mean, the way in which he's living out the Christian life with incredible courage and authenticity and just radical commitment to the poor. I mean, he's making our job much easier these days. It's incredible to have a pope for whom the world has such great excitement, right? So I think in some way, rather providentially, Copper Beach has emerged at a time when the pope is speaking about new ways of bringing people into an encounter with Christ. So for example, Copper Beach is offering a centering prayer retreat with a special invitation to people who might not be practicing the Christianity of their childhood. So Copper Beach is offering an encounter, which might feel to some a little safer. They may have some block to diving in with everything they have. And Copper Beach provides a kind of a safe intermediary step to maybe investigate religion once again through this ancient form of contemplative prayer.
I'm getting how open this institute is to all manner of approaches. And yet I'm guessing that there are some lines you can't cross. So you probably wouldn't be interested or couldn't be interested in promoting or at least even exposing to the public the idea of a female priesthood, for instance. Are there some parameters within which you must work just by virtue of having, as you say, a presence on this campus?
Oh, that's interesting. I imagine there are some issues that we would need to be very careful about. I don't think we want to provoke necessarily, intentionally provoke any of the tender theological issues that are very much in play these days, or issues of gay and lesbians in the church or female priesthood. However, what I would say is that Copper Beach would certainly be a place where a contemplative teacher could come who might happen to be a female priest from a Protestant tradition.
It's on my radar because I'm going to be heading to Manhattan this weekend for a woman priest-led Catholic Mass.
Yeah, I think we have such a reverence for we, meaning just maybe I should speak personally. I personally have such a reverence and a respect for the Catholic tradition. In all its beauty and power, but also in all its its shortcomings. You know, I once heard a wonderful parish priest, Father Joe Donnelly, the pastor at Sacred Heart in Southbury, Connecticut, talk about the evolution of our relationship with the church, mirroring the evolution of our relationship with our parents. And so when we're kids, our parents are perfect and can do no wrong. And when we're adolescents, they seem to only be able to do wrong. And we hopefully come to a point of mature adulthood where we see both the beauty and the brokenness, and we can love and respect them. We can affirm and disagree with them, and that's a part of human relationship. So I kind of think of that as a beautiful metaphor for my own relationship with Mother Church, Father Church. And precisely because of our love and respect for the Catholic Church, I think we want to be respectful of those issues in the church that are tender, that are unresolved, that are very much an ongoing conversation in certain communities. And to be honest, of course, we live on a Catholic campus. And we want to be respectful of our local bishop, too. And we don't want to compromise the really important work we do by stepping on any landmines. And in any community, there's landmines. So this is an evolution, and it's a day-to-day conversation. Which issues do we want to really work on? And which do we feel like it's not quite the right time? Yeah, so.
I think we have enough time for a tour. Shall we?
Maybe we can start by heading upstairs to our most newly renovated suite of rooms and start there.
Lead on.
This is a visit to the Copper Beach Institute with its director, Brandon Nappy, who's leading us on a tour of the center, which is located in West Hartford at a Catholic retreat house and monastery. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith. Coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown, now in its 75th year of providing community radio that matters, and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM stores, UConn's radio for the people.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
There's a world where I can go. Tell my secrets to in my room, in my room.
Was this institute your idea? And don't be bashful. Don't be too modest.
Thankful, yes. So, the institute flowed out of my own encounter with contemplative practice about, now almost 20 years ago. First with centering prayer, and then later with a Zen meditation through a wonderful encounter that I had with Father Robert Kennedy, who is a Jesuit priest, along with being a lay Zen teacher. So, you know, there's a community of Christians who've embraced Zen practice as well. In fact, as I was finishing a doctoral dissertation on the role of Zen practice in the Christian life, I began a Zen practice of my own to parallel my centering prayer practice. And so this institute, it grew out of my own personal contemplative practice, and it became clear that we had some extra room, though the retreat center was thriving. We had some extra bedrooms and some extra spaces, and so the Copper Beach Institute grew out of my own personal encounter with contemplation, but also a practical need that we had.
I see this beautiful prayer on the wall. Why don't you read it out loud? It seems like your mission statement.
Yeah, so this is a boundless heart intention, a paraphrase of the Metta Sutra, one of the Buddhist scriptures, But what I love about it is that it can be prayed by anyone of any particular tradition. It can become a deep prayer for those of us who are on a faith journey. And it also can simply be an intention to live with loving kindness if you're not on a spiritual journey or believe in a God. So it goes like this. With a boundless heart, may I cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world. May I be a guard for those without protection, a guide for those who journey on the road, and a lamp for those who long for light. For all who need help, may I be a servant. For every single thing that lives, may I be their nourishment, until they pass beyond the bounds of suffering into freedom. So what I love about this this prayer is that for me as a practicing Christian, it very much reflects Christ's call to be of service in the world. And of course, this flows out of the Buddhist tradition, so it would be prayed quite easily by Buddhists. But if you don't believe in God, or if you're spiritual but not religious, this is sort of at the heart of our work here at Copper Beach, to be a light of compassion for the world. And so now we're walking down the hallway on the third floor of the monastery. And this third floor is used by the Copper Beach Institute as our primary bedroom suite. So there are 200 beds throughout this whole facility. And this third floor with its 23 beds represents kind of the heart of the Copper Beach residential wing.
The doors to the bedrooms are open. And so I can see that they're kind of posh. Is that a double bed and a kind of fancy set of furnishing?
Well, these are our most renovated rooms. There are queen size beds. The carpet's new. Every surface has been repainted. The ceiling is new. Air conditioning has been installed in about 30 rooms throughout the house, and then local artists have offered their work on temporary and sometimes permanent loan. And so the experience of just walking down the hallway in many cases is like walking through a gallery. There's some really powerful pieces here, and it's a really comfortable place to be on retreat for sure. And maybe we can head down to the Golden Thread Gallery.
Okay.
Are you okay with stairs, Maria?
Yes. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
This is a visit to the Copper Beach Institute with its director, Brandon Nappy, who's leading us on a tour of the center, which is located in West Hartford at a Catholic retreat house and monastery. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM Storrs.
Though the world is torn and shaken,
so this is the Golden Thread Gallery. This was a nonprofit organization started a little more than a year ago by Kate Wilson and Tricia Haggerty Wentz. This was a supremely underutilized room. It was filled with old furniture. And really, through their creative vision and hard work and fundraising, they created a professional art gallery. And they invite artists from all over the world to submit art to five shows each year. And around me right now are probably between 25 and 30 beautiful pieces of art.
Does there need to be a spiritual theme?
The themes are general. This whole year, their shows will revolve around yin and yang. And so the five shows will have different themes coupled together. For example, this one is form and void. The last show was surface and depth. So kind of yoking together two seemingly opposite things. And because of the gallery's presence here at the retreat center, many of the works are explicitly spiritual. Some are implicitly spiritual, and some aren't spiritual necessarily at all, at least in the artist's mind. But at the end of the day, all art is spiritual from my perspective. Yeah, just so many gorgeous pieces. So this show continues for another few weeks, I believe, and then a whole new crop will come in.
It looks like the works are for sale.
And the works are all for sale. And it looks like several pieces in this show have been purchased. And the proceeds go to support the wonderful work of the gallery.
Great.
And we'll head now into what we call the public chapel, where Father John Baptist Pesch celebrates morning mass every day. I know he's been a guest on your show. He's the patron saint of... And what's really interesting about this space is that not only has it been Father John's home for morning Eucharist for decades and decades, from 7 to 8 a.m., 6 days a week, but it also is the home for many of our Copper Beach retreats. So this this other half of the room, and I have a lovely picture to share with you of the space. This half of the room, opposite the chapel, functions as a yoga studio, as a meditation hall. This is where many of our Copper Beach retreats happen, where writing retreats happen, art retreats happen. We have three free meditation groups each month, and that really is the dynamic heart of Copper Beach Institute. 50 people or so are coming regularly now. And what's really interesting is that it represents the kind of cross-section of who's here. So in the room are practicing Buddhists, practicing Catholics, practicing Christians from Protestant denominations. There's people who came up to tell me, look, I'm an atheist, and I practice meditation because the neuroscience research suggests I'll be happier, healthier, and more compassionate. So what's interesting is we all share a common conviction, a common call to compassion, wellness, and peace. But in the silence of our practice, we each have subtly a different understanding of what's happened. The Catholic believes that silence is a time for communion with God. The atheist believes it's a time for practicing wellness and compassion. The Buddhist believes it's practicing enlightenment. And yet we've created a space where everyone feels welcome. And it's not that this is not the melting pot. It's not that we come here and all those differences go away. It's that those differences are celebrated, honored, and respected. So we can each speak from our own tradition about why the practice of meditation or contemplative prayer is enhancing our life.
Is this a unique thing, or is it the trend with facilities or institutes, if you will?
Sadly, Maria, the trend is that they're closing. Big institutions like this, retreat centers, are closing all the time. A handful of them just closed last year in New York and Long Island. So across the country, you know, about a dozen Catholic retreat centers close each year, precisely because these buildings are so expensive to run. So the business model has changed in the last 60 years. So if we can imagine back to 1951 when the Passionists built the place, priests and brothers were mowing the lawn, making the beds, cooking the meals. And now we have over 20 paid full-time lay people, right? So in those 60 years, as we brought on more and more lay folks, the place got more expensive to operate. And so this kind of development a new expression of our of ministry, it's really hard to do. And I think, sadly, places are closing because they're not imagining new ways to do ministry. So let's head over to the new dining room, really the exciting culmination of about 3 years of fundraising and a large capital campaign that brought a new boiler to the physical plant, and then brought also a new expanded dining room.
you're on a reasonably Catholic field trip to West Hartford's Copper Beach Institute. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM Storrs.
What if it wasn't always about getting ahead? What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? What if your career goals were to change? Instead of flying off to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? To embark on a different track. To volunteer in ways you never dreamed of. In places you never imagined yourself being. Like a tiny island in the Pacific, barely visible on a map, but where needs are easy to see. Or a village on the African continent, where just a little training in HIV awareness can change the fate of thousands. What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Tis the gift to be simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to come down where you ought to be, and when we find ourselves in a place...
Why is the menu not meatless? I asked that question once on a retreat here and was told, kind of troublingly, that if there was not meat, men would not come.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah, there is a kind of culture of meat and potatoes among our Catholic brethren that is a challenge to reverse by all means. So it's something that we work with here on retreat. Our food is incredibly delicious. It's very healthy, and we're certainly trending in the direction of less meat for our traditional Catholic retreats. At Copper Beach, the menu is primarily vegetarian with animal protein as a side for folks who, for dietary reasons, feel like they need them. Of course, in the contemplative world, there is no agreement about eating meat, even in the Buddhist world, of course. Some Buddhists eat meat, others do not. They're Christian vegetarians, others are not. So what we're trying to do is create a menu that's sustainable, that relies as much as possible on organic produce, on local relationships with farmers. And what we can do after we leave our dining room is we can head down to the field that will become an organic farm in the springtime once the land thaws. Yeah. So we should just say about this space, Maria, that this room was renovated about a year ago. We've added an outdoor patio with a fireplace and bathrooms, and we've increased our seating to about 250 people. So the footprint of the room got bigger, and we rent out the space, which kind of helps us on the sustainability question. For a certain generation, they just haven't thought about the ethics of their food. Food isn't an ethical occasion. It's just... Hey, Katie Rivers.
Maybe there should be a retreat on the subject, but then why would they come?
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
It's probably a good workshop. I think we should return to that. And we have on our staff, on the Copper Beach staff, a wonderful person who's been very thoughtful about food and sustainability, and helps us to craft menus and think more holistically and more globally about food. So we've been really, really, we've been very blessed because food is an important part of the retreat experience. Nurturing the body, caring for the body is a big aspect of retreat. So.
And I would think there would be a willingness to pair down some of the luxuries, if you will, you know, that to eat simply, to have soup and bread, maybe, and be content or try to. I don't know. Am I expecting too much?
It's certainly the case at Copper Beach that food is very simple and very delicious and yet very nourishing. So yeah, there is a tradition of retreat being a time of subtraction. And it's been said that the great spiritual work in life is not what do I need to add to my life to become more spiritual. It's about how do I remove the obstacles, the things, the activities that really stand in the way of my awareness of God's presence. So, you know, in some ways, our retreat experience is very simple. You get a bed, a desk, a bathroom, and your meal, and it's really time to be. So much of life is defined by doing and accomplishing, and we are human beings. We are not human doings. So part of the work at Copper Beach and at Holy Family is to let our doing flow first from our being. As if we know how to just be with ourselves, with God, then it naturally expresses itself in compassionate activity in the world.
You're on a reasonably Catholic field trip to West Hartford's Copper Beach Institute, which you might say is reasonably Catholic. It offers retreats and trainings in mindfulness and contemplative practice. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU 88.1 FM Middletown and rebroadcast on the University of Connecticut's WHUS 91.7 FM Stores.
So we're walking down now the back road that leads to the labyrinth, and our labyrinth was built about 7 years ago now on the site of some old tennis courts that were in disrepair, and our labyrinth is modeled after the famous labyrinth at the Chartres Cathedral in France. And of course, labyrinths, they predate the Christian era, but they became prominently used in medieval Europe when it was considered the height of piety to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to retrace the footsteps of Jesus, to literally walk in his footsteps. And when that became too expensive and too dangerous to do, in some cathedrals in Europe, these labyrinths or these walking paths were actually inlaid in the cathedral floors, so that instead of making your way from Europe to Jerusalem, you would make your way to a local cathedral and you would walk the labyrinth primarily as a way of doing penance for your sins. So it was a penitential activity in the Middle Ages. Now we primarily use the labyrinth as a form of walking prayer. And people will come in the morning and they'll walk their dog, or people have driven from all over New England to visit our labyrinth. We made it wide enough for folks in wheelchairs, which is, as far as I can tell, unusual among labyrinths. And the cobblestones that form the walking paths are actually the original paving stones from the streets of Manhattan. So when they were repaving the Manhattan streets a number of years ago, they dug down to the original street, found these cobblestones that were from Ireland and Scotland, and they removed them and made them available. And so these cobblestones in the labyrinth have been helping to navigate footsteps for hundreds of years, which is kind of a nice history. Yeah.
I can see that we're almost out of time, and so I just want to make sure to thank you so much. You put up with some snarky questions, handled them expertly, and I wish you all the best.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor, and the work you do is so important, so thanks for being a partner in this.
That was a field trip to the Copper Beach Institute, New England's newest center for meditation and contemplation. You can learn more about the Institute by visiting its website, copperbeachinstitute.org. And that'll do it for this episode of Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith. Next week, we resume our first, third, and fifth Tuesday schedule with an episode about a Mormon woman's crusade to put women on an equal footing with men in that church. Can't listen live? You can find all episodes of Reasonably Catholic archived forever on the ReasonablyCatholic.com blog. I'm Maria Johnson. Thanks for listening. See you next week.